Hi, good day and welcome to another episode of Rants and Confessions. My name is Lash, and in today's episode, I'll be talking about my photography journey. During somewhere last year, I think I started getting the feeling that probably I've come to the end of this whole photography thing, and then I need to quit, right? But I needed to move on to something else. But I didn't know what I was moving on to, and I didn't know if it was just maybe I was just tired or I have a creative block or something. So somewhere December, I mean we're in January, right? Late December, I something happened, and I knew that probably this is a sign that I'm done. It was more frustration, so I decided I've come to the end of this road. So to make it something that is permanent, I started selling my stuff, because if the things were here, it's going to be somebody will still come and take pictures. You would feel like calling somebody to take pictures, but it becomes a real thing. It becomes real when you actually don't have the gadgets or gear anymore. So in this episode, the aim is to look at my whole photography journey, okay? So for me, I think that I've always been a creative in some way. I needed to have a creative expression in a way. It started with trying to draw stuff, and I remember I won an award in, was it class one or class somewhere? Mr. Didi's Black Cat. Yes, I drew that cat, and then I won an award. It was hanging in my headmaster's office. I went to SDA. If you think I'm lying, go and check. It's in SDA at Ifeokuma. That's cool. Yeah. So I had a creative expression one way or the other. I needed to express my creativity in one way or the other. And then I went to... So before going to SHS, right? When my dad was the one who selected my schools and then the courses, I told him I wanted to do visual art. He said no. No, because the plan was to be a pilot, and if I'm going to be a visual artist, it means the only way I'm going to get closer to a plane is if I'm going to paint the plane. That guy is savage. But I mean, I'm actually glad he made that decision for me. I mean, very, very, with all honesty, I'm actually glad. Not saying that visual arts wasn't good or anything, but I think I'm still back doing this creative stuff. But I needed to pass through the science and go and learn computer stuff and all that. I'm actually very happy about how my journey has been. So even in SHS, I met a good friend. Now he's a very, very good friend of mine, Bright, where we spent time together in his class. He was doing visual art, so I really came to appreciate the process. So I've always loved creativity. So when I went to university, I didn't have a very good phone until around, say, 2012, 2013, when I bought a Microsoft Lumia. I think that time Nokia had switched to, it was a Microsoft Lumia, yes. And that's when I started taking pictures. And most of these pictures were pictures of myself and my friends in the library. So I have a couple of those pictures. And I think I'll be posting a video on TikTok about some of these things. I'll be answering a few questions that people sent in, so I'll be attaching these pictures in there, so check that out at Rants and Confess on TikTok too. So that's what most of these pictures were, pictures of my friends. So we're spending a lot of time in the library. I think the second floor, that there was a table that was almost always reserved for us. Not reserved, but it was this unspoken rule that this was Glavion's table, so you come and then nobody's sitting there, they won't go and sit there. I was taking pictures of these people. I took selfies and pictures of a cat, pictures of keys, pictures of random stuff. And then I had a particular way of editing it, because at that time, the lens or the camera of the Nokia or Microsoft Lumia wasn't as advanced as what we have these days. There was no depth of field, kind of like blur, all those things. So I had to, most of my pictures were grayscale, black and white, with some blur and stuff like that. I saw those old pictures in my OneDrive account, and it was all funny. So that's how it started. And I remember back in my house, there was this girl called Victoria. she was a neighbor, a very small girl, and she became more like my first model. I think I even have a pictures on my Instagram account where I was taking pictures of this girl with my phone and all that. She was a very small girl. So there was that interest. So I think even throughout 2013, 2014, maybe I got different phones, I don't know. I was still taking pictures with my phones. And then 2015, that is when we completed, when I completed university. Wow, I'm an old man. So that time I was with this wonderful woman, and through her, I was able to secure a contract, got some cash to buy my first DSLR, or my first professional camera. I won't call it professional camera, but a professional camera. Yes, it's a DSLR. And then I think I couldn't even afford a camera bag, so she actually bought it for me too in Takoradi. I remember where I bought the camera. Those of you who know Takoradi, Piper, I know there's this small photo store. That's where I bought my 100D. It was a very tiny camera, and I was very, very appreciative of it. And that was when I knew that this is something that I'm going to do, because I have invested. It was a lot of money I've invested into this. So I was doing my national service, and then I did my national service at Mpoho. I went to teach ICT. Yes. When I went, there was a guy with a camera. It was a very big camera with a big lens, or like a whole set, big camera. I was very envious, because that time I didn't have my camera then. And I went to buy my camera, which was very tiny. It didn't even help the case, right? And all I had was the camera and the memory card. Nothing else. No other gear, no flash, nothing. But I started taking pictures, right? I started using what I had. I started taking pictures. And during my national service, I spent most of the time in Takwa. Even though that wasn't where I was doing my service, I was with my girlfriend then, this amazing woman I'm talking about. I'll mention her. I told her I'll mention her, and she says that she didn't. She would beat me, so. And I started taking pictures of her. Even though she would say I didn't take a lot of pictures of her, I took pictures of her, and I would go to campus, I would take pictures of the girls and all those things. For some reason, I loved taking pictures of girls. I don't know why, because I don't know. Maybe they attracted me to take more pictures of them. And I didn't know what to do with a picture of a guy. I didn't know, because generally, I think as I grew, I understood that for me, I don't see men as attractive. Men were not... when you see this a man, like a good representation of who a man is, that person doesn't show attractiveness, or it doesn't depict a picture of a man doesn't really depict attractiveness. It shows strength or power, that kind of thing. You see all these apps, but women show a side of attractiveness, some femininity and some tender something. So I just lean towards women, taking pictures of women. So that was when I was in UMAT. And then I'm very grateful for people like, there was this girl called Delphina, or I don't know, I've forgotten the name. She was very, very nice. I took pictures of her. And then Ikea. I took pictures of Loveland, Ife. I took pictures of Gifty, even though she didn't like taking pictures. So it was like, I'm very grateful for these people who allowed me to take pictures of them, even though I wasn't like a pro. I didn't have any other things attached to my camera. It was just a small lens that I was using. And I think one of the things I'm so happy about was Gerald, who financed my first prime lens. It was a 50mm lens, and he paid for it. I think that time it was 300 cedis. I didn't have 300 cedis. 300 cedis was a lot of money then. And I remember the excitement when I went for this thing at the post office. I came to fix it on my camera. I had ability to take pictures. We had blurred backgrounds. Oh God. Those were good moments. Right. And then I think this lady, Aisha, there's a lady called, I think, Aisha Ash Glam or something. She's in Takwa. She was also a student of UMAT. She would do makeup of somebody, and then I'll take pictures of the person. These people supported me. Maybe then I didn't know. It might have felt like it was a lot of work, but it was the beginning of a great journey. And I'm very grateful for them. Aisha, I've forgotten the names. There were a lot of girls who were willing for me to take pictures of them. And I was still taking pictures of random objects, obviously, because not every time that you're going to get a girl to take a picture of. And like my girlfriend then, she said I didn't take plenty of pictures of her. Maybe I didn't. Actually, I think I didn't. But I remember I took pictures of her in the Takwa had these rails, right? I took pictures there. And then that was when I was learning there's something called line of symmetry. And then was it line of symmetry? Something. I've forgotten all these things. So I tried a lot of things. It was when I was starting, there was this eagerness to try things, to learn things. And I'm very glad I did all those things. So from UMAT, when I was doing my service, that was when I got an offer. I think I talked about this in my Accra episode. And then I had to move to Accra, right? And Accra was probably the springboard to this photography journey, the whole thing. It was when this thing started making sense. All right. So when I moved to Accra, what happened in Accra? Oh, I had, okay. So before we even moved into Accra, I think I shot my first wedding. I bought a flash. It was also a Yongnu flash. And I can't go without mentioning this guy. He's called Roger Gazy. So during the time I was taking pictures, when I was doing my service, I didn't have a laptop. Honest to God, I didn't have a laptop. And then my girlfriend then also had, I installed Photoshop on her laptop, and then I was using the laptop. That was whenever I was in Takwa. So there were times I would take pictures, and then maybe I'm in Takradi. And then I had this friend Roger. I would take pictures and he will edit it. We all didn't really know this craft. So some of his retouching, now looking at it now, it looks some way, something I wouldn't do, but then it meant a lot. So most of the pictures, when I'm looking at my Instagram account now, when I started, most of these pictures were, it was some way, but it was good. And people started noticing me, hey, Lash, all those things. And I was very happy. I was very happy about those pictures. And I'm very grateful for Roger. And then there was this lady too, forgotten her name. I used to take pictures of her at a lakeside. And that's the thing. I'm not going to say I hustled or I struggled or something. I had people who were willing to help me. And that is the truth. People who I'll say, oh, I want to take pictures of you. And they willingly will say, okay, let's meet here and we'll do the shoot. And that is something I'm very, very grateful for. I saw one of the ladies I took pictures of, and now they are big people. They are like very, very, and I'm like, wow. So I actually took a picture of you at a point, and that is the Scarlet MUA. I remember that lady. And then there's this girl, Yangson. I've forgotten the first name, Gold Dust or something. And it was, I had a lot of first times with people. Like there were people that mostly they were not models because I couldn't afford shooting models. It was just people who wanted to try something or wanted to get into it. And then I was lucky enough to be the first photographer who took pictures of them. So in Accra, I had a couple of things. I had one softbox or something, and I had a flash and a trigger. So I started taking pictures in the, wherever I've stayed, mostly the hall has been converted to like a makeshift studio, home studio kind of thing. So in Accra, that's when I met someone called Emily. We took a picture. Accra was good. And that was when I also met a friend called Snow. And Snow was going to be a very, very important piece in my life for my whole photography journey, because somehow he was ahead of me. He had a better camera, and then he was also in Accra, so he knew more people. He was also doing amazing work, and then we became friends. I think we met on Instagram, we had a few chats, and we became friends. And that was when it started. We would take pictures, and then we collaborated on a shoot with this lady. I can't forget her name. Let me pause and go and remember her name and come. Yes, I'm back. Abrokwa. She's called Abrokwa. I am Abrokwa. And Snow introduced me to this lady. He brought Abrokwa to my house in Accra. And then we had a shoot. I think it was one of my most liked pictures. It was in this... how do you call this? It's a bathtub with some... with some what's this called, some milk and stuff like that. So that was when I understood that okay, this is going to be a big thing, because when I came to Accra now, and I'm taking some good pictures of very popular people. So at that point, I don't think I had started really getting into boudoir or nude photography. And I think mostly when I tell this story, it started with my then girlfriend. I think I took some pictures of her, some boudoir pictures of her, and I liked it. I liked the confidence. I mean, when you take pictures of people, these boudoir pictures, and you show it to them, sometimes it boosts, there's this thing that there's some effect it has on them, especially if there's somebody who is insecure about their body, and you're able to show them a beautiful side of this body that they are insecure about. For me, it has never really been anything sexual. And I know that most people, when you tell them, oh, I take nude pictures, the first thing, hey, Lash, you see tons, so Lash. I mean, at this point, I'm used to people telling me, hey, so what did you see? Did you see? And at the point, it becomes noise, right? If you ask anybody who also takes boudoir pictures, they will tell you that, or nude pictures, they will tell you that they've been having these questings. And for some reason, some of the guys also look down on women who do these things. When they see a picture of a girl who you'd shot a boudoir, oh, Charlie, link me in. Because they think, because she was able to take like her clothes off and shoot pictures like that, it means that maybe they can have their way with her. And so that's something that maybe guys should probably change. They should do better when it comes to these aspects. So I got into boudoir, and I think after that, the first one I took, it was in Takrady, not like the first one after my ex-girlfriend or my girlfriend, there was this lady called Sharifa, right? Sharifa was very, very popular in Takrady, and I took a nude picture of her. It was topless, so she was wearing panty, and then she used I'm trying to recreate this in my head. She used she was holding onto a pillow, and then their back was against the camera. I was shooting her back, so she turned a bit, and then you could see her side boobs and something like that. I think because she was popular, and I posted on my Instagram, a lot of these small boys were texting me, "Oh, Charlie, is that Sharifa?" Then I think she was entertainment prefect somewhere, so she really, a lot of people knew her. She was in SHS or something then, was she? I don't know. Yes, she was in SHS then. Hey, is that Sharifa? Then, give me her number. And then her boyfriend called me. Oh, take down the girl's picture. Then, so I that was when I think a lot of attention. I started getting attention like that, and then I took pictures of Petra Reynolds. I think these days we're not like we used to be before, but she was one of the people that I was very happy that probably I was the first people to take pictures of her, and I'm very happy for her growth. Now she's like one of those top people. I see some big men taking pictures of her, and I'm very happy because I look at her first picture or the first time we took pictures, and then where she has gotten to now. And there were times I didn't have props. I was using my mom's glasses. Almost every lady who came to my house knew that if you come, I'll give you my mom's glasses to wear so that I take pictures of you. And at a point, so back in Accra, when I was working as a software engineer with Persol Systems, and I was combining the photography too. So I'm very grateful for Thomas Saeed Gerald, who allowed me to use their big hall as my photography studio. You understand? That was where I was doing my shoots, in Ablekuma, far away in Ablekuma. And I'm very happy for the people who could take cars to come to Ablekuma just to take pictures with Lash. And some looking back at this, I see how blessed I was. But maybe those days it was like one of those things, yes. But now, looking at the amount of money people had to spend to move all the way from places to come to my place, it was amazing. And so that was that place. I was taking a lot of pictures there, and then it got to a point I decided that, see, I'm going to quit doing this software engineering thing and just focus on the photography. But there was a problem, right? I was later going to notice this problem, but I quit. And then I stayed home, started doing this photography full time. And I almost died. I almost died of hunger. Because the thing is, I was so passionate. I was driven by passion. And I didn't really notice the business part. So I felt like when people paid me for pictures, it was more like a bonus. I wasn't doing this for money. I wanted to create art. I wanted to create. That is all I wanted to do. So I didn't see the monetary aspect of it. And I think at a point, Thomas was trying to talk me into how to make a business. He wanted to be my manager, make it a proper business. I wasn't even concerned. And I felt like asking people to pay was standing or was in the way of me creating. Because sometimes you charge people and they say, okay, they won't come again. But all I wanted to do was create, right? And then, I'm not talking about this in any form of order. All these things are mixed up in my head. And in Accra, I met Cassie. Cassie is also a model, and then she manages some girls. So she got me shooting a couple of girls, right? And if there's somebody I will be very thankful for, is Fifi. That guy really saved me. Fifi became, I never hired him or anything, but I was always calling him my assistant. But probably he was more than an assistant. He was a friend. He was a brother. The first time we met, he texted me that, oh, he's coming for my lens. And then I showed him my house. He came for the lens. Later on, he returned it. And that was it. That was how the friendship started. And this guy has been in my corner for years. And I'm very appreciative to him. Appreciative to Aware and Sayriam. And see, if I talk about Sayriam, I'll probably need a whole episode to talk about Sayriam. This guy's growth. I mean, you can't talk about one of the best photographers in Ghana without mentioning him. And I'm so happy that I saw where he started from. In my Accra episode, when I was selling my camera, there was a point I was so hungry that I had to sell my camera. Actually, Sayriam sold my camera for me. This guy introduced me to people I didn't know because he was in Accra. In some way, he was able to pull the girls. And that's how I met Coco Halam. And his talent and everything. We even started a YouTube channel to talk about food and everything. And I'm very, very appreciative of him and Aware and all those people. And also Gerald, because I moved from where I was staying in Ablekuma to another place called Olebu, those who know Accra. And it was just myself and Gerald. And also I converted the hall to another photo studio. And I knew people were invading his space. I knew I was bringing people to the house. It was his house too, but you never know when somebody just walks in because of photography. There were people all over the place. And I'm very happy that he accommodated all these things and allowed me to do this. And because I couldn't monetize this properly, I didn't know how to make it a business. I struggled because I needed to eat. And Fifi was mainly feeding me. Fifi and Gerald, they were taking care of me. And sometimes Cassie will come around. And because my place was far, people were not willing to come. And there was a girl, this lady. Oh, I can't forget her name. Let me pause and come back again. Yes, I'm back. Her name is Grace. Grace? Taki. Yeah. She drove to my place. And this girl was so beautiful at a point I didn't know why she was coming to me to shoot. Like, I felt like you were in a crowd. There are so many better photographers who had better things. I didn't have a fan in my studio. It was hot, but this lady was coming there. And these are part of the blessings that I overlooked then because, I don't know, I was hungry. And she was paying me cash and bringing me food too. Wow, that was amazing. So it got to a point, I mean, in 2020, I've missed a whole lot of some of the things I'm talking about, but it will come to me as I'm saying. In 2020, I got a job in Takoradi because I was struggling in Accra as a software trainer, and I moved. But before leaving, I just left almost everything. I just took my camera and I think flash. Did I have a flash? I just took my camera also, and I left everything to Fifi because, I mean, we have been through this, we have been through a lot. So I just left the stuff in the studio for him to do with it, whatever he wanted to do. And I'm glad that he also got a camera and he's also still a photographer and he's doing amazing work. And I moved to Takoradi. When I moved to Takoradi, I was staying with my dad. I was staying in a store. You see those in a house, you see there are stores in front. Yes, but it was converted to a room. That's where I was staying. So I couldn't really practice photography like that, right? I couldn't really do a lot of photography in there. So sometimes I'll go out. My dad had always been against this photography thing because he knows that university. I've taken you to university every day. There's a camera on your neck. I'm around your neck. I'm a photographer. All this. He was against that. So I wasn't doing a lot of photography when I came back to Takoradi. But I would take my camera to the office, take some pictures of my office people and all that. And then these guys, the Blue Studios, Black and Dallas, they've really, really helped me also. Because those people have this kind of energy around them. It's amazing. So I started doing a project that every month I would do it. Because when I came to Takoradi, now I was really receiving salary, so I had money small, right? I had money that I felt, you see, because I was poor in Accra, whenever I would receive my salary, I was able to spend it fully. Because if it gets to, say, 100 cedis, I know how to live with 100 cedis. So it wasn't like, oh, I need to spend carefully. I was spending a lot. So I would sponsor projects. I did a project with Bright. He has a drone. So he was like a drone pilot. I did a project with him at a beach. And I did a project, the May project, with the Blue Lens guys. That is when I met a couple of beautiful, beautiful, amazing women. I collaborated with a couple of people. It has always been creating. And I was sponsoring most of these projects with my own money. I'll just pay people and everything. And I didn't see it because I wanted to create. You understand? So around 2021, I mean, like I said, I've forgotten most of these things. Around 2021, May, I got hungry again because I was doing susun. And then because this salary, it had become part of my life. I don't know. You see, when you get big money for a long time, at a point, you get used to it, right? And then you start becoming broke again, right? Good. So it wasn't like big money. But I was doing susun and I went to do some hire purchase and the bank was deducted and all that. So I had to sell my camera to a guy called Victor Aremu. Fucking guy. He saw that I was hungry and he came to buy the camera. So at that point, I cried a bit because I knew that now this thing that I was using to do the photography is gone. What am I going to do? And God being so good, around September that same year, I got this new gig, which was bringing in a lot of money. But there was a struggle I saw in Takoradi. Unlike when I was in Accra, Takoradi, I didn't have a lot of people to create with. You understand? People were not willing to create. I was giving people transportation. I would send them transportation that, oh, maybe let's meet at the beach. Or on the Saturday that we're going to do the shoot, I'll call them, oh, mama, siminke ye ibi na. People were telling me, oh, we're going, oh, I forgot I had a funeral. The excuses were so many. I didn't have any place to rent stuff in Takoradi. Some of the photographers were not as good as, I felt like there was not even a lot of challenge. There's this guy, Steve. I will always mention his name. And I recommend him to a lot of people. Steve, he's doing an amazing job. Because when you sometimes look at the competition in Takoradi, it's like a lot of people are relaxed. But Steve was doing an amazing job when it comes to portrait and stuff. And weddings too. So it became difficult for me to create. I saw that something was dying. Slowly, something was dying. The will to create. Because you're not having people. You're not having... So... when I moved to my new place here in Takoradi, I'm no longer staying with my parents. I automatically converted this place. I started buying stuff. So last 2 years, December, I spent close to 15,000 buying photography stuff. And now looking back at that, I noticed that I didn't really need those things. It was things I needed when I was in Accra because I didn't have the gear. I didn't have a backdrop. I didn't have a proper stand. I didn't have a lot of things. I didn't have anything. So when I got the money and I could afford those things, I think sometimes I bought these things to quench an old thirst or something. So that is what it was. And I had a lot of things sitting here that I could start a whole photography business, right? A full-on studio. So I'm still working. Now I'm working with Amalitech and then the photography thing. So it got to a point. What actually triggered me to quit? That I wasn't getting people to create with, right? I wasn't getting people to create with. You call people to come. and then they're giving you excuses. But for some reason, when it's their birthday, they automatically are available. There are people who you will not hear from the whole year, and automatically when it's their birthday, they're, hey, Elijah, today is my birthday, or maybe with your pictures, and there's this entitlement. Lash, where's my photo shoot? Like, Lash, you owe me. It was serious though, that these people make it look like, when should I come for my photo shoot? As if you've paid me for a shoot. So it started feeling like a chore. The whole creative, and like I said, this has always been a creative expression for me. It is a way to put out my creativeness, my creativity. It's not like a business. That's why I really didn't do a lot of events, a lot of weddings. I shot weddings. I didn't do a lot of it. I mean, I shot weddings. I lost pictures because they came to steal my stuff, also in Accra. So it became a chore. And this December, what I always do was I go for the carnival, street carnival. I take pictures, but this year I couldn't because there was a mix-up. My camera was with someone. The person was delaying and everything. When it came, I saw that something was off and all that. That is what triggered it, and I decided that, see, I'm not getting people to create with. I'm not creating as much as I wanted in Takrady. And there were times that my friend Enjoy, he's called Enjoy, he had to come to from he's in Accra. He had to come to Takrady. Whilst he was coming, he would bring two models, meaning pay all the transportation from Accra, just so we could create with them, you understand? Because a lot of people in Takrady were not willing to create. But I'm very thankful to Benedicta, the few people in Takrady who were willing to come and create. Sometimes people thought, but it's just boudoir. No, sometimes it's just normal pictures. I just have an idea and I want to create. Or maybe a Saturday, I just want to take pictures. But oh no. Different excuses, but then they will come and take pictures and then they'll go away. And when they go away, it resumes. When they come and take the birthday pictures, the silence resumes again until the next cycle, and it's their birthday or they need pictures for something. People were inviting me to their graduations to come and take pictures of them for free. People will invite you to places and ask you, will you bring your camera? It became a lot. So I decided that I was going to stop. So currently, I'm no longer a photographer, right? So there was some regret. I will do a separate video on my TikTok and all that and talk about, because now I felt like the photography was part of my identity. When anybody asks, oh, I'm a photographer and a software engineer, but now I just say I'm a normal guy. I'm no longer a superhuman. So that is that. But I asked people to send some confessions, which actually they didn't. Even those people who came for free pictures, I was talking about this. Just send something that you remember about our time when I took a picture of you or something, anything you remember. A lot of people didn't mind me. So I mean, it's one of those things. So I'm going to read a few of the confessions. I always call it confessions. Yes, a few of the confessions people sent me, and then we wrap this up. It has been a long time, right? So the first one says, growing up, I've loved how confident and professional you were. Even in your photography business, you demonstrated a class of professionalism. One of the things I learned from you was to build and master my skills on a daily basis. Going through your posts on IG is evident you have developed this skill greatly. Thank you, Lash. So thank you to whoever sent this, and I appreciate the fact that you've been able to learn something from me. So this one says, I met Lash on Instagram. He saw my pictures and thought it would be great to shoot with me. My first shoot with him was beautiful. It was a semi-nude picture, I would say, but very artistic. That picture actually is one of my best pictures I have ever shot. I saw him very welcoming and easygoing. We became friends beyond just photographer and a muse. We are still friends. I call him my sugar daddy. Most people think you are spoilt and they are afraid to work with you, but that's your personality is sweet and nice, and you wouldn't hurt anyone. I'm glad I met you. And like I was saying, because you do nude pictures, there's this whole, and I was willing to die on that hill, there's this whole this whole perception about you. Hey, last guess, see, it's okay. Someone says, confess what, please, why are you stopping photography? And what happens to your photography experience and equipment? Well, the experience will always be there. Maybe at a point, it will just fade away. But the equipment, I started selling stuff, right? Because I shoot, last time, I went to buy a light. I went to buy a video light. But because now I want to do more of TikToks, do focus more on this podcast and then shoot video. So that's what happens to the equipment. And now this one says that, we met on Facebook. I saw your works and I was amazed. But what surprised me more was that I didn't expect you to be down to earth like that, because I had spoken to people with talent on the blue streets. And sometimes it's even as if you need an appointment to talk to them. Fast forward, I visited your home studio. We had a great conversation and that's when we became friends. My first shoot actually was kind of an add-on when I brought an underground artist for a shoot, and you did mine as Jara. What does that even mean? It pains me to know you're quitting photography though, because you're damn talented. But life is a journey, so I wish you success in whichever career bar stop you are lighted. I think I know who this person is, and he's also a great friend. Thank you very much. This one says, I did a nude shoot with you. It wasn't hectic. I felt comfortable, and I think it turned out good. I know my grandchildren and great-grandchildren will always remember how good their grandma looked in her young age when they see them, even when I'm gone, because they represent an artwork for me, and I never regret taking them. I hope they don't get lost through time. Thank you for sending this. And this lady, she's a friend, she said, Hi, Papi. I said, don't sell your photography things. Your works are beautiful, and I hate to see that you wouldn't do it anymore. I mean, this came late. I sold a lot of my stuff already. And this one says, I think I know this person. This one says, Lash and I grew up in the same church. He was my pastor's son and also my lover. So I decided to help him build his brand. I made up my mind to always be available for him whenever he wants to take pictures of me. One Sunday afternoon after church, he came to my house to seek permission from my mom to go take pictures of me. My mom allowed me to go with him because he's our pastor's son and he's also close with her. Also because he respects. That was my first photo shoot after that. A friend of his saw the pictures and was like, he also wants to be his model. It kept on till date, but he's the only person I like and love to work with because he won't take advantage of you, unlike other photographers too. Other photographers. And someone says, your pictures are so nice and so attractive. Bro, please don't stop with photography. I already stopped, sorry. And someone says, your photography was amazing actually. Had inspiration about it. It's unfortunate you are in an environment that doesn't really see your creativity and appreciate it more. It was always fun watching you shoot a video or do a photo shoot. I liked seeing breasts, so I'm glad I saw many from your shoots. Would have liked to see you try more ideas and explore more. Thank you very much for this message. And guys, so yeah. Some people sent in some questions, so I'll be answering those ones in my TikTok video. So thank you very much for anybody who has in a way shaped my photography. Everybody in GH Photographers group. If I was unable to mention your name, everybody. I'm very, very happy that this thing happened, and I'm very happy that I'm very hopeful looking towards the next journey. I'll always be a creative. I'll try something else, but maybe it is time to call it quits and hang my tools. And this is my longest episode yet, so I'm sorry for taking a lot of your time, but thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. And for those people who are my last people I took pictures of, I hope it will be like a great moment for you that you're the last person I shot before I decided to hang my tools. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you. You'll be hearing more of me these days because, I mean, I have a lot of time on my hands. So, yeah. See you in the next episode. Love you all. From Brad Dennis and Chas and Kwabena. All right, bye-bye.